Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We're improving every day since I had the new computer. Hopefully, the video is getting almost there. The audio is getting better every day. I'm not at the top, the peak that I'm looking for exactly, but I think we should have a good show. And I wanted to talk about Jordan Peterson and his way of using clinical language on Twitter for political debating, basically, and for going after his ideological enemies, which at this point include basically all trolls of the internet, which is not it's not a very productive way of engaging with them. And it reveals really what psychiatry truly is. Psychiatry is a tool to label others, to oppress them, to take the diversity of the cognitive structure of society and reduce it to a pathological view of it and say, you are sick. We are okay. You are sick. You need fixing. Whereas, in fact, most psychiatric disorders need fixing merely because the people around the person having the disorder cannot tolerate this way of being that they have. Autism being the best example, generally people don't complain about being autistic. It's the people around them that are complaining that they are stuck with someone who has autism. That is just one example. There are other psychiatric disorders that are truly disruptive and that people will call for help when they have it, like anxiety, depression. But a very common thing in psychiatric disorders is that they are basically a social tool of interrelationships, and at this point, a tool of political oppression by the state. And Peterson, by calling everyone a narcissist, diagnosing the trolls, saying, hey, I looked at your Twitter account and my clinical eye tells me that you suffer from this. That is a very dangerous line to walk. And it's a very thin line between the line of diagnosis serves a purpose for those who want help, but diagnosis is not the proper thing to do if you have a disagreement on the public space. So I wanted to talk about this. Now, there is amazing news coming from Florida. Apparently, a new bill in Florida makes accusing someone of transphobic discrimination defamation, with $35,000 penalties plus court and lawyer fees. It could be used to stifle speech and protect transphobia from criticism across the U.S. And when I read about it, it's very interesting because it's a war that the new Republican Supreme Court didn't get a chance quite yet to address. But it's a legitimate war on, will we extend the scope of defamation lawsuits in the U.S.? And it's an interesting question because it's one way in which the mainstream media gets an advantage. It's basically impossible to get sued for defamation in the U.S. unless you are mischievous, malicious in the way you do it. Like you really can be proven that you've taken a lie and you knew it was a lie and you weren't convinced by it. And basically, the only way as a public personality that you can commenting on another public personality in the U.S., the only way you can get sued for defamation is if they have a chatting room of you privately saying, ha ha ha, I'm going to lie about him. And that often doesn't happen. So there's a big question here because first there's private individuals, they get all sorts of protections, but then the boundary between public personality and private individual is basically inexistent anymore. Everyone is on Facebook. Everyone can become the center of a viral excitement about one of the videos they published. Perhaps most of their videos have 10 views, but eventually one of them has a million views. Does that make that person a celebrity? And there's all sorts of misuses of all these features of defamation law in the US. And at the same time, you have the whole First Amendment concern. You know, we should be free to speak. And when someone says, it is my opinion that this, it's their opinion. They are the person speaking. It's not... Are they speaking for someone else? And this reaches a point that I've been making a long time ago. Speech rape. Speech rape is happening in the US because now I say something and someone else says, well, JF is a white supremacist. Well, I did not choose. Like, if I was dressing with a dress and high heels and I was to put feminine makeup on my face, you would have to call me a woman in Canada. But somehow, while I can impose on you that you should call me a woman if I go into your store, for example, I cannot somehow decide that I'm not a white supremacist. Like, I cannot decide, hey, I don't self-identify as a white supremacist. My gender is male. My pronouns are him, is. Can you refer to me as him, is, rather than white supremacist? You can't do that. So there are all sorts of arbitrary, bizarre things with defamation lawsuits. And Silver Spider says, speech rape land. Oh my God, you have to know a triangle of JF lore to understand this term, speech rape land. speech rape land is a wonderful place. It is a place where things can happen that wouldn't happen anywhere else. Welcome to speech rape land. And so we learned that there are many interesting things in this new bill in Florida. An allegation that the plaintiff has discriminated against another person or group because of their race, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity constitutes defamation per se. So calling someone a transphobe would become defamation per se. That means you don't need to understand the context. You need to simply to ask, is it true that he's a transphobe? And look at what they give as a tool for for the plaintiff. A defendant cannot prove the truth of an allegation of discrimination with respect to sexual orientation or gender identity by citing a plaintiff's constitutionally protected religious expression or belief. So if your speech was falling under the First Amendment, let's say you say something like, I don't know, my religion tells me that that biological men cannot become women. If you say something like this, it's constitutionally protected under the First Amendment. And then you can say, so therefore this person is a male. And if that person calls you a transphobe for saying this, they cannot argue that you were a transphobe based on your constitutionally First Amendment protected speech. That is very interesting. It's kind of a vicious way to get at the failures of defamation law and say, okay, starting now, First Amendment protected speech has a priority over the concept of defamation, and especially the defense of truth. So it is not sufficient for the person to say that you're a transphobe, that you have said something transphobic. It would have needed to be the case that what you said that was transphobic was not protected under the First Amendment. That is interesting. Lendal Guntram says, I do not like where this is going. It is new territory. It is a legal test. I find it extremely interesting for the legal test that it is. And I want to see, can we exploit this in other domains? But certainly, Clarence Thomas has been expressing for years now that he was willing to extend concepts of defamation so that it stops systematically advantaging the mainstream and the left. And I like it. I like what's developing here. It's going to be hardcore. I mean, can you imagine these leftists, in crisis mode and they are triggered by everything? Can you imagine them starting to get sued for calling other people transphobic? But when you think about it, this whole series of, racist, white supremacist, anti-Semite, transphobic, all these things, they're all tools of the left to defame without any form of obligation. And I love that Florida is about to put some obligation on their back. You want to call me a transphobe? You have to show me that I've done something that is not protected by the First Amendment in America. This is going to be hard because the First Amendment is large. I mean, what is going to justify in Florida an attack that someone is transphobic? I don't know. A Silver Spider says, if this passes, we'll then need the Supreme Court to pass a law to protect Clarence Thomas from being labeled a white supremacist. That would be a nice one, too. Speaker's Corner says, please cover the Scott Adams video from today. I haven't seen it, so I won't be able to cover it tonight, but send it to me if you want. I think you sent a Twitter link. Apparently, Scott Adams, of all people, has had enough of the gaslighting and hate and went off on his stream today. This rant has to be seen to be believed. TLDR screenshot from Anon included. Let's have a look at what they say. Well, I'm going to have to consult offline these things because it seems that there are claims about what Scott Adams is saying that I don't know the context of. So I'll be keeping the link and I'll watch it tonight. But I won't cover this if I don't fully understand the context of these claims. Silver Spider says he probably cursed out a lot of people on his stream. Yes, is this Scott Adams' Sargon moment? People will remember when when Sargon started calling the white trolls of the chat a form of N-word, a form of racial insult that he sent, but that was meant to the white trolls of the chat. That was the funniest moment. Holy shit. you're acting like a bunch of white redacted. Yeah, exactly. I remember this. Oh my God, those were the good times. But it sucks. It sucks. Speaker's Corner says it starts at 1320 JF. Yeah, but I won't play something that I don't know, especially if there seems to be a massive, liabilities, it seems that there may be hate in there. I'm not going to play this without knowing what it is. Some random bloke says, hey, Jeff, have you seen the South Park ripping on Harry and Meghan Markle? Hilarious. No. I do not watch much South Park, let me tell you. No, I did not, and I probably will not. I do not care about South Park. By the way, just received a massive donation, and I want to thank the person who did this. You know who you are. He has decided, he's a member of the audience. He has decided to remain anonymous, and wow, thank you so much, man. And it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be serving you. And it is so generous of you. We are looking, ladies and gentlemen, at years ahead of safety, of financial safety and stability for the show. That is absolutely amazing. I am heartwarmed today to have received such a great donation. And it will help me in the years to come. Fuck you, says, oh, and the classic JFG tonight. Sargon, you're not as smart as you think you are, from Richard. Yes, that turned out interesting when you look back at this statement. Some random bloke says, if we give you a large donation, can we go out for steak next time I'm in Canada? Sure, I've done before. I've not done for the show, but at times there are people who have supported me and with whom I've had dinner. But yeah, maybe not for JFG tonight, nor for the public space. I would totally be open to do this. Carlota had sent a super chat during the night. He said, if a movie was made about TRP, which famous actors should play the following characters? JF, Mama JF, Dawkins, and Brett Weinstein. Well, normally when I think of a movie about TRP, I think of the fiction part of TRP, you know, the story of humanity engaging in the phenotypic revolution. I don't think about a movie about the writing of the book. But who could be Mama JF? Let's see, actresses 2023 IMDb. The most beautiful actresses in the world, 2023. I guess that Valentina Belli, I think she would be a great Mama JF. Valentina Belli seems to have the looks for having, you know, similar hair, similar beauty to Mama JF. She is ranked the third most beautiful actress in Hollywood. I think that Valentina Belli could be playing Mama JF's role. I'm seeing who's this black guy? He's in all movies. He's always the Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson, I'm seeing him as Richard Dawkins. I think that he would do a great Richard Dawkins, and at the same time, it would give us, you know, woke points for hiring a black man, and we would have diversity to fit the standards of Hollywood production. You have to have a black guy, so I might as well put Samuel Jackson on Richard Dawkins. Brett Weinstein. I don't know who could play Brett Weinstein. let me find a list of actors here. All right. I think we could have Elliot Gould. Elliot Gould might be a good Brett. And then for me, I have no idea. I have no idea who could play me. Danny DeVito says go away. I like this. So Danny DeVito could be me. We have Samuel Jackson on Richard Dawkins, Valentina Belli on Mama JF, and Gould on... Our Spindly Opinion says Sean Penn. Okay, Sean Penn. All right. Today I have published, well, today has been published the Subversive Podcast by Alex Kashuta, where I appear. So if you want to go see an interview, I think it's one of the good interviews that was done with me on the subject of the revolutionary phenotype. Alex Kashuta was very involved in understanding it, was pushing back with relevant stuff that made me believe she truly understands it and understands the talking point and understand what it could mean. So one of the best interviews I've had, where a host truly cares about the book, truly cares about the science behind it. What an interesting woman, this Alex Kashuta. We had a little exchange at the end on, you know, how do we discipline modern women? How do we fix the woman problem of of current times. And of course, as a woman, she was a little triggered. But other than this, it went beautiful and very pleasant interview to watch. So follow my social media. You will see links about it there. I have taken position against Jordan Peterson today. What I said is, if you need to be convinced that psychology and psychiatry are inherently weaponizable political tools of control, you need to look no further than Jordan Peterson's use of clinical terms to attack his ideological opponents, which include so-called internet trolls. So you look at just many, many instances. There are many such cases where Jordan Peterson, sanctimonious narcissistic, Machiavellian, psychopathic, sadistic, derisive, narcissistic, self-aggrandizing, moralistic whine, narcissistic man, narcissistic, Machiavellian, psychopathic, and sadistic, derisive, narcissistic, Machiavellian, sadistic trolls, narcissistic psychopaths, demented ideologues, and troll psychopath research. Some people were telling me, Jeff, those words are not words that are specific to psychiatry. They pre-existed psychiatry. I would agree with the semantic point there, but it's very clear in Jordan Peterson, in his language, that he uses these terms in a kind of psychiatric science way. Because sometimes he literally says it in those statements. He recently said to someone, I've looked at your Twitter account and my clinical eye tells me that you're a narcissist. So, yes, Jordan Peterson means those terms as clinical in many instances. And that's a problem. What I said later in the thread is, there is a danger in surfing the thin wave between clinical diagnosis and political finger-pointing, as Jordan does. It deprives both sides of legitimacy. On the one hand, clinical diagnosis is discredited and used as a tool, while people may be genuinely suffering from these disorders. On the other hand, the political conversation is delegitimized too, and reduced to an exchange of ad hominems and dehumanizing labels instead of a conversation around the actual point. For instance, can internet anonymity have benefits? Do not mistake Jordan's use of these terms as being out of the norm, though. Unfortunately, psychiatric science is constantly used with the goal of dehumanizing and stripping others of rights, for instance, in probate courts. You must be wise to this fact and understand that although you may approach psychology and psychiatry as tools to get help, they can easily be turned against you because some corrupted forces in those fields are making it their mission to cross the line between diagnosis and the political fight for social engineering. I think that Jordan should walk back on his... And by the way, this is a very recent thing. I was searching through his Twitter history. Psychopath, for example, he used it once in 2012 and then a series of times in 2022-2023. Narcissistic used it very rarely before and suddenly uses it constantly in 2023. I think that Jordan Peterson is losing his cool and it's making him commit these wrongs, both against psychology, his science, and against the interest that we have in a healthy public conversation. And on top of it, it's a liability to him because eventually when he gets taken in front of the license boards, the clinical psychologists are going to love to point to the fact that he's using these terms in a non-clinical setting and giving a clinical veneer to them. So hopefully he corrects this. I think that everyone would win if Jordan comes to engage with the argument rather than saying, you're a troll, you're a narcissist, you're this. This is all ad hominems and it's worth nothing. We can't do anything with this. We have a super chat. Some random bloke says, what do you think that psychology / psychiatry and the relation to psychoanalysis? K-Mac does a whole chapter on it in The Culture of Critique. They eventually pathologized everything, including the white nuclear family of the 1950s. What do I think about psychology / psychiatry versus psychoanalysis? Well, I think that psychoanalysis has not demonstrated being even a science to understand the human mind, a valid empirical way to approach the human mind, nor even a useful tool that has fixed problems. So I think that psychoanalysis is just the delusions of Freud and of the people who followed him and made it worse. So that's what I think about psychoanalysis. I agree that the academia of mental health is a political tool that pathologizes healthy things, including, toxic masculinity, which is masculinity. Masculinity being turned into toxic masculinity, familial relationships being turned into concepts of abuse. All of this is an attack on the family, yes, and we should fight back. Some random bloke says, there is a good piece on Jordan Peterson from Europea TV. They completely dismantle him. He wants all white people to become atomized individuals. And he spoke negatively of Dr. Ricardo Duchesne. He can get... Okay, thanks for your message. I don't know what he said about Ricardo Duchesne. I would be interested at hearing it. I didn't know that he had ever commented on it, on him. But yeah, not surprising. A gatekeeping voice of the mainstream, will always be extremely harsh and sometimes try to actively ignore the people to his right. Because of course they're the one whose Jordan's job is to keep people from accessing. Rodilacid says, JF, is psychiatry even reproducible and falsifiable? If not, how can you call it a science? Well, it depends. If you're talking about symptoms, well, is it reproducible? Well, you could have many psychiatrists, they could all see the person. They could say, okay, I detected this symptom. And so, yes, it's reproducible. Is it falsifiable? Well, there you enter the interesting territory. Like, is a category falsifiable? Is a catalog of things falsifiable? Because here's the problem. Let's say I have... Let's say, what would be a good parallel to make with hard sciences? Well, there you go. I have one. Let's say you have a classification of species. So you are in the 1700s, or you are at whenever Carl Linnaeus, published his book, classifying the known life forms on Earth. Is a class, so a list basically of all species known and what they look like and where do we think they belong in a graph, in a bubble. But at this point, it wasn't necessarily yet evolutionary science, and therefore they didn't have this concept of what Darwin has, which is, okay, species come from a common ancestor and therefore, we can trace the branches and we can have a full phylogenetic tree. A phylogenetic tree that not only classifies life forms, but that makes a claim about a common ancestor having been at the source of these two life forms. So Carl Linnaeus and his classification of living things, is this falsifiable? Are categories, are labels, are human groupings falsifiable? That is an interesting question. I think that the best science is one that is one where the human groupings are merely labels and tools to explain and to share, but that they are not subject to the empirical claims. They are not subject to, you know, is it verifiable that this vehicle belongs in the pickup truck category? I don't think it should be, and I don't think it has to be. I think we can always acknowledge that scientists need a lot of words. They need a lot of cataloging, a lot of gathering, a lot of categorization that is not subject to empirical claims that this is true, and therefore do not need to be tested. So all this to say, does the DSM classification need to be tested and falsifiable? Well, no, because it is a set of words to group categories of symptoms together and to say, all right, let's give a label to this group of symptoms. Thomas Howard says, unfortunately, psychiatry is becoming much more popular residency destination for med school grads these days. The lifestyle has always been excellent, and recently the compensation model has been greatly improved. They're calling psychiatry the new dermatology. Are they really? Interesting. Yeah, you know, I can understand that the young doctor who wants to help a lot, and they see psychiatry probably as a way indirectly to satisfy their fascination with the human mind and be right there at this intersection with psychology and, you know, the fascination for the brain. But psychiatry is one of the dirtiest aspects of medicine because of the number of rights that you lose when you enter a psychiatric ward. And that is very worrying that it exists. That the problem is people are not incentivized to even seek for help, because if they enter the psychiatric ward, if the psychiatrist decides that you're a danger to yourself or that you're a danger to others, you won't have a say for when that ends. There won't be a point at which you'll be able to say, all right, you were wrong, so I'm leaving. It can hold you forever in principle. And the only backup you have against this is the court. But the court is very often just as corrupted as the psychiatrist and will basically systematically believe a psychiatrist that comes to them. So extremely worrying, the state of psychiatry, and to be extending it to the Twitter domain and to be launching accusations like Jordan does against anonymous people, not very healthy for the conversation moving forward. And here people were laughing their ass off because this is not a parody. This is the real Jordan Peterson making his classical up yours woke moralist. But he's saying this in response to a reminder on the paper towel roll. Remember, you don't need an arm's length of paper towel to dry your hands. Use less and place what you use in the paper towel receptacle provided. It's compostable. Place all other waste in the garbage can. That makes sense. It is certainly not tyranny. That is an information, and let me tell you, I've seen people, you know, very low IQ people in bathrooms. They're like, rawr, rawr. And it's like, yeah, I think that some people need this label to be informed that you don't need that much paper towel. I certainly don't feel concerned by the label because I understand these things, and I'm a very, you know, I'm a very non-consuming guy. I will use a very little towel, even I may not use it at all. But Jordan Peterson says, up yours, woke moralist. Tyranny is always petty, and petty tyranny will not save the planet. Well, I don't think that is tyranny. I think that is information, and you're free to trust it or use it. Yeah, Deadstar says he thinks that's woke. Yeah, it's well, you know, there is a form of indoctrination happening around these ecology environmentalist subjects. And I've been denunciating it when it takes the form, for example, of brainwashing children and brainwashing them while not giving them the tools to be critical, leading them basically to accept as an article of faith that the planet is in danger if they don't do this or that. That is tyranny. That when you start brainwashing children and putting dangerous beliefs in their heads and not inciting them to have their own tools to evaluate beliefs for themselves, that is dangerous. But this label, I don't think it's woke tyranny. Pedozoraptor sends a super chat. He says, "Hey, Jeff, just had my first and I'm in ecstasy. When breastfeeding is not possible, have any opinion on baby formula? I personally love the Enfamil A plus. Enfamil A plus. So Enfamil A plus. I think it has everything and your baby will not be lacking anything with this. Absolutely wonderful. Well, that is fun. This feeling, you know, when your first child is born, it's a very unique feeling of just happiness and content. It's very special because as a critique on the public space, I'm not a man who's often content. But that feeling of just having your first child and they are there and they're all perfect and they swing their little eyes toward you and they look around. That is so wonderful. So enjoy this time. You don't have much to think or do. Just take care that he's breathing, urinating, shitting, and eating. That's it. And so, yes, the Enfamil formula, I don't see any wrong with it. It's been amazing. I think that the ingredients, you can look at the list of ingredients. There are people who say, oh, there's corn in there. But there are so much things in there that I don't think the corn is a problem. But you can do whatever you like. Personally, I am full happy with this. All right, what else do we have? There was a response of Matt Walsh because there was some degree of controversy started by the likes of The Quartering and Tim Pool commenting on Matt Walsh being too rude because he pointed to a trans person and basically made his point that he thinks she is a man, and calling that person ugly. So all things that would fit in America under First Amendment beliefs that he can express, but The Quartering and Tim Pool saying, hey, maybe there's a more polite way to approach this question. You won't convince people by insulting them like this. And Matt Walsh has a perfect answer to this, which is, I'm not here to convince people. There are political enemies and they need to be ridiculed and they are spreading dangerous beliefs onto the public space and I will be here to ridicule them. And what you guys are doing, Tim Pool and The Quartering, is softening your discourse to the point where they can't even be told what's wrong with them. So credit to Matt Walsh. That is a very nice statement that he's done. I absolutely agree. There is no reason to be polite. There is no reason to not go the full way in undermining dangerous beliefs and be clear about why you disagree with those dangerous beliefs.
Okay, so that was Tim Pool, Jeremy from the YouTube channel The Quartering, Sydney Watson, Amala Ekpanobi from PragerU, and the guys from the podcast Trigonometry. Now, one thing I want to be clear about here is that I'm not mad at any of these people. There are no hard feelings. We can disagree and all that. I went too far. Well, see, this is where we differ. Because in the culture war, I don't think it's possible to go too far by speaking truth. The truth is the truth. It is what it is.
Yeah, so what a tame argument, ultimately, that came from the Tim Pool side. It's like, he said what he thinks is the truth and what you guys believe is the truth, which is that biological men are men. So your argument, maybe you shouldn't say the truth. Your argument is this. Your argument is maybe you should deceive a little bit to polish your approach to people. That never works. That always looks bad. And I think that here, Matt Walsh is the one coming out looking good. Why Gonzalez versus Google matters in an internet of algorithms, excluding controversial content, leaves us all worse. So that is an interesting case that is currently in front of the Supreme Court, and it's an important one. So someone had their family member killed in a terror attack in 2015 by ISIS. Now, they are alleging that YouTube's recommendation, because YouTube's algorithm was recommending ISIS content, somehow the YouTube algorithm led to the death of their family, because they found some evidence that YouTube's recommendation algorithm was sometimes recommending ISIS videos. That is a very distant demonstration, but I would argue that whether they win or not is not even important here. Because what matters is YouTube protected by Section 230? That is the important question. And then what happens with the trial is a matter of fact and determinations of fact, and it won't really matter for the legal precedent. But the legal precedent that is currently being debated is very, very important. And it is whether the Supreme Court will be convinced that Section 230 protects YouTube as far as its recommendations of content. And it's a tight fence to walk on, because you have on the one hand, well, YouTube is an internet provider of some service, the YouTube platform. So they are, by default, not liable for anything that happens on their platform. But then their actions in modifying an algorithm of recommendation, that might be considered different by the United States Supreme Court. And perhaps they will say that the Section 230 was not designed to address someone who's basically acting as if they were a newspaper, someone who's editorially choosing what succeeds and what doesn't. So there are multiple outcomes that could come out of this. First, it could launch a chilling effect on development on the web, because suddenly platforms could find themselves responsible for all sorts of outcomes, and so they might be more willing to censor, even more than current, if the Supreme Court goes that way. Another possibility is that Section 230 will be confirmed to be protecting recommendation algorithms, and so that would lead to YouTube potentially becoming even more aggressive and knowing they can be very bold in, you know, deciding who's the winner on their platform and letting their recommendation algorithm really abolish the success of certain creators, as they have done with me. So there's all sorts of ways that are dangerous that could go from here. So I'll be following this case. It's going to be very important. And unfortunately, there aren't much good outcomes that can come from this. It's either YouTube will have more leeway to do more censorship, or YouTube will have more leeway to do more algorithmic control. In both cases, I am worried that creators will be the one paying the price. All right, what else do we have in the news? Project Veritas is continuing to lose followers on Social Blade. Look at this. They have lost 20% of their followers already in the last 3 days. And that was just the beginning of that day. So 200,000, 100,000, and we'll see. They were at 1.4 million before this exodus happened, and they are now at 1.1 million. Absolutely awesome. I hope that they fully crash because they are nothing. Nothing without James O'Keefe. Pâté de tête. Amazing. Amazing. A recipe involving a head of a pig. Look at this. They eventually stripped the whole head off the fatty and muscular parts. Chef. They then they ground it. They add some vegetables. They put it in a pot. And there we have a pâté at the end. Beautiful. Beautiful work. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I've recently started a war within a friend group by accusing someone of being a wokey, disregarding the extremes, the screeching blue hairs on the street. How would you define wokeism? Well, wokeism is the idea of having been awakened to a reality that one thinks, sometimes falsely, and most of the time falsely, because the woke here is used sarcastically, but to have been awakened at a reality that was previously hidden from them. And that reality, at this point in our history, woke, because woke was used before, it was used for a far left term. People were talking, for example, about Jean-Claude Van Damme, who had an interview where he was talking in French, but he was using the term awakened, but he was using that term in English. And for him, that wasn't a far left thing back then. It had led to, there's a whole meme around this. In France, because people like to laugh about Jean-Claude Van Damme saying these things. But all of this to say, it's when you are awakened to a reality. And right now, when we use the term woke, we are implying that it's a far left reality of, you know, the oppression of minorities, the oppression of sexual minorities, and the whole awakening to the exploitative system that capitalism is, that the patriarchy is, stuff like this. So that's what woke means. If you are in any way, if you feel that you have been graced by a superior understanding of these things, which leads you to do all sorts of things like be annoying to your white friends by asking them to self-flagellate for their oppression of other races that they do commit, but they don't know about it. That is what being woke means. Crazy Catman says, woke can be easily summed up as anti-white. That's all it is. Total Grimm says, Van Damme could play JF in the TRP movie. Oh yeah, that would be nice. I'd love him to do a couple of roundhouse kicks, and somehow we could claim that those were my roundhouse kicks, but that we had to hire Jean-Claude Van Damme to be able to reproduce them properly. Someone on Twitter, Dark Age Raven, says, "Your trad wife, sir," as if he was delivering the trad wife to us. But look at what the trad wife is doing. She doesn't sound like a trad wife at all.
Sinking bobbers, I get these looks from my mama, kick ass from my father, come on.
the fuck is this? I don't know. Quite funny to see a bunch of white people with their boomer-style rock and roll guitar take back the themes of basically rap, a black form of art. It confuses me. Now, some random bloke says, wow, beautiful Southern woman. I don't know. You can see that they have some potential for beauty, but their behavior is crap. Their behavior is absolute crap. You can see that they could be absolutely beautiful women, but the attitude, bro, the attitude. Iraq to drop a dollar for yuan in trade with China. The Iraqi Central Bank announced Wednesday that for the first time it plans to allow trade from China to be settled directly in yuan instead of the US dollar to improve access to foreign currency. It is the first time imports would be financed from China in yuan, so I'm happy we're seeing this parallel system develop, which will remove power from America. And for the warmongers and for the people who benefit from having America at the center of this economic system of the world. Insider paper reports breaking Clinton aide linked to Jeffrey Epstein found shot and tied to a tree with an electrical cord around his neck is ruled a suicide 9 months after he died, Daily Mail reports. I found this one hilarious. It's freaking hilarious that, okay, so a guy, and people were saying that he was shot with a shotgun, but somehow there was a electrical cord around him. The police report states that Middleton was discovered with a gunshot wound to his chest. His body and car were found in Arkansas. Police report into Clinton aide mysterious death Rosie died by suicide. The advisor was found hanging from a tree with a gunshot wound to his chest. An extension cord was tied around his neck and connected to a tree. So he is trying to kill himself, but he uses two different means. There's the shot to his chest, to his own chest. And just in case that doesn't work, he has an electrical cord as a rope. That is a bizarre circumstance. But okay, I guess that can happen. Idaho lawmakers seek to criminalize injecting of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. Republican lawmakers from Idaho have introduced a bill that will make it a crime to administer mRNA vaccines in the state, citing safety concerns, which would apply to COVID-19 vaccines manufactured by companies like Pfizer and Moderna. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, a person may not provide or administer a vaccine developed using messenger RNA technology for use in an individual or in any other mammal in this state. I love that they will be protecting all mammals, not just humans. Well, that's interesting. I think it's good that if we can have some states take that path, not that I believe it should be illegal. I believe people should be able to get it if they think it's good for them. And I believe they should be punished if it's not good for them. But I think it's not a bad idea that it's illegal in certain states so that we preserve some rights. Like, you know, when they start speculating about doing air vaccines, when they start spraying vaccines in the air, it would be nice that you have those states where they say, hey, when you're spraying your air vaccine in California, you're committing a crime in Idaho because we get the draft. We get the mRNA draft from you guys, and it's entering our state. So I think it's not a bad thing that we are setting up a legal framework that makes some of these things illegal as a whole. Shady Jesus says, did JF see that there's a fifth person cured of HIV? I don't look into these things very much. I don't like this concept, cured of HIV, because I don't think people truly know. It's like, how would you know? Can you test all of the cells of your body? No, you can't. So be very careful with this conception of being cured of HIV. I don't know. They don't know. They couldn't possibly know. Micronova says farmers are injecting mRNA into food animals, cows, chickens, turkeys, pigs. Yeah, exactly. So having a state where they say, hey, anything that you've injected with this would be illegal to carry here, that is good. Micronova says HIV cured by bone marrow transplant from a CR32 European donor. I don't know what leads them to claim this, but what I know is you can't know everything about the human body. You cannot know all of the cells, whether HIV is hiding somewhere there. You can't know this. What else do we have in the news? We may be headed toward the conclusion. The switch made from a single molecule, beautiful progression of technology here in Japan. A special carbon molecule can function as multiple high-speed switches at once. Researchers have demonstrated a switch analogous to a transistor made from a single molecule called furlerine. By using a carefully tuned laser pulse, the researchers are able to use fullerene to switch the path of an incoming electron in a predictable way. The switching process can be 3 to 6 orders of magnitude faster than switches in microchips, depending on the laser pulses used. Fullerene switches in a network could produce a computer beyond what is possible with electronic transistors. And they could also lead to unprecedented levels of resolution in microscopic imaging devices. Fullerene. I want a sample of fullerene. I want to have a mound of fullerene in front of me and tell the Canadian government, come and get me. You'll meet my little friend. Oh my God, I can't wait for optical molecular computing. We're going to be powerful, and it's going to be low heat, and it's going to be so fast. I dream of optics. I dream of optics, and this would be optics, and on top of being optics, it would be molecular level. It would be much faster, much more compressible in a small space. We would have small chips of this fullerene that could do amazing calculations, 10 times, 100 times better than current computers. Let's make it happen! Micronova says, CCR5 Delta 32 mutation blocks HIV and smallpox entering cell. Bone marrow transplant from double copy donor made HIV undetectable in formerly HIV positive recipient. And he sends us a link. Yeah, I think now that you're talking to me about it, I remember this report. But again, I've always been convinced that those reports, what if there was a lower concentration of HIV and you're not able to detect it, but it's still there? So biologists discover why 10% of Europeans are safe from HIV infection, but that is the gene that they've injected with CRISPR to the two young Chinese daughters. That is CCR5. That is what provides protection to a part of the European population from HIV. Nvidia soars 8% after beating earnings, guiding higher than expected. Many habitual gamblers were running out of nails to eat when nearly 50 minutes after the regularly scheduled earnings release time and just 10 minutes before its conference call was set to start, Nvidia still hadn't reported Q4 results. However, better late than never, and moments ago the video card and AI giant reported results which beat expectations across the board and also guided well above the median estimate. Yeah, Nvidia perhaps has a bright future ahead. Personally, I now have a new Nvidia card, and let me tell you, this is serious stuff, and I don't see a future in which GPUs are not useful anymore. I think they may even expand in the importance of it. I mean, it's quite amazing because I think back of computers in the 80s and 90s, and I think that the video card was this very small thing. But the video card has become a very thick and more dominant thing in the whole setup. It's now bigger than the CPU, definitively, and in a way, it occupies almost as much volume as the motherboard because it's much thicker than a motherboard. Quite interesting what's happening with video cards, where they are taking more and more in charge of calculations that happen in a computer. DK Shadow says, it's like a computer in a computer. Yes. End of the line, Joel says, lots of passive cooling. Absolutely. Yeah, the thickness is not necessarily the electronic component. There's a lot because now video cards have their own fans and they have their own power connector because they need more power than what the motherboard can give them. Lawrence Forbes sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for the support. He says, hi, Jeff. Did you look into exactly who on the board stabbed James O'Keefe in the back? I can't help but think they may have belonged to interested groups of infiltrators. James, being so busy and committed to his work, never noticed? I haven't looked into it at all, but I'm very interested in the hypothesis that you lay out here. You know, when we see these psyops and these lies that show up on the public space and these groups of interest and self groups that defend each other and that seem to work orchestrated with the interest of the elite and the mainstream media, normally you have a signature. You have a signature that is that of these groups, elite-oriented interest, sets of interest. And I still haven't looked into the details of the story, but I will. I think it's a good idea to look at it, but I've just didn't get a chance to find sources that would be credible on this kind of stuff. And who are these people? Who, there were 3 voting to oust James O'Keefe and 2 voting to keep him in. Who are those 3? I'm wondering. I was pointing out that this is a woman who was the chief of the grand jury deciding whether Trump would be subpoenaed for a Georgia grand jury. And it's like, yeah, this kind of person currently has power over your rights. And depending on how these people feel on that day, you may have rights or you may not.
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear? And me getting to swear him in. I kind of just thought that would be an awesome moment. Personally, want to.
This is so dangerous. Some of the main mechanisms of civilization rely on these people. Let's listen to it again. Would you like your rights to be handled by someone like this?
Personally, want to hear from the former president.
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear? And me getting to swear him in. I kind of thought that would be an awesome moment.
That would be an awesome moment where you are forcing a president to speak in a proceeding that could very well lead to his imprisonment if he lies or if he's judged as having lied or whatever. I mean, this is sick. Now, people are doing research on this girl and people were calling her a witch earlier. Actually, she is a literal witch. She self-identifies as a witch, promotes on her account Wicca for beginner, Wicca witchcraft and paganism, courage, fertility, happiness, health, crystals, fucking crystals. I mean, this is so you got it right by calling her a witch. Technically, she is a literal witch. Like, I'm not saying not a witch in the sense of witch hunts of the medieval age, but a self-identified, like, I assume my witchery type of woman. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, this crazy lady's facial olfactory sensor. Micronova. I will not read the rest. But okay. Thank you. Thank you for your comment, but the rest of your super chat does not qualify for continued reading. And finally, as a last news item before we close the show, someone was surprised that uneducated females, you know, females with a high school diploma or less, they will not date a man who claims he's a feminist, a male feminist. Alice Evans was saying 47% of high school only educated women say they would be less likely to date a feminist man. Wow, that is something I need to understand. And I was like, not so hard to understand. I mean, first you have the uneducated woman is the reproductive elite. She is much more serious about her male choice because it matters for her, whereas the educated woman is on her way to make her own money and her own path in life, and therefore she cares less about the quality of her male and will start looking at what some male rights activist and some PUAs call the clownish performance. You know, I think it's Rujvi who says, you know, the circus factor. They're going to look for a guy who has some impressive or eccentric way of being because they really don't care about his quality. But for the high school education or less female, she needs to find a man of quality. And so if she detects that this male is claiming to be a feminist, she detects all sorts of red flags, including conformism to societal trends, femininity and lack of manhood. So that's why they are discarding male feminists. Trained by Day says, Jeff, why is the percentage base bar so long in range? Well, it's because this line represents nothing. It represents the difference between college educated and high school. So as you can see here, the college educated is more selective on stuff like cigarettes, unemployed, Trump supporter, trust vaccine, etc. So that's a deal breaker for the college educated. But amazingly, these things tend to be less of a deal breaker for the high school educated or less. And one thing that is a positive deal breaker for the high school educated or less is whether the guy claims to be a feminist. It's the only factor that they are more intransigent on than the college educated. The college educated will not make a deal breaker out of it, but the high school educated will make a deal breaker out of it. Philosoraptor says, Jeff, how's your greenhouse? My greenhouse is still standing. You know what I'm thinking for this year? I'm thinking of not planting at all. I'm thinking of working on finishing the roof. And I think at this point, I've set up my farming methods that I don't need to produce this year. You know, I have the knowledge. I have the seeds. I have my confidence that I care well for the soil. And so I may concentrate solely on the technical aspect, build storage spaces so that I can have more time, because it's amazing the amount of time spent on just maintaining the cycle of reproduction of these plants and caring for them. I'd rather fully concentrate on finishing my work of art, you know, and having a finished greenhouse. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, in your interview today, why did you emphasize the possibility of five parents having a child in the context of artificial wombs in particular? Wouldn't this also in principle be possible through IVF if multiple parents contribute chromosomes to a single egg? It will. It will be available to the IVF context, but the more you are in the artificial route of producing, the more you have moments to make it happen. You know, if IVF is not a thing you're forced to do, if let's say you are a male and a female, you want to reproduce, you have the option of reproducing naturally. It's very unlikely that you will go through the IVF process. But if you are a bunch of five people who want a combined baby, or if you are just a single person wanting a baby in an artificial uterus, then no matter what, you're going to need egg extraction. No matter what, you're going to need in vitro fertilization. No matter what, you're going to get a chance to look at the embryo under the microscope as a zygote. So all of these things, they create more opportunities, more door opened for bizarre stuff to seep in the scientific process and the clinical process here. So yes, technically, you could have a five-parent baby with multiple chromosomes from just IVF. But the more you engage in those technologies, the more IVF is common, the more you're going to be tempted at having those reproductive, non-natural ways of reproducing. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for amazing donors through the super chats and our big donors of this afternoon. I am so happy that you guys are so generous. I can continue delivering my thoughts on the public space for so many years, decades, in fact. Much love. Bye-bye. And I'll see you all tomorrow. What do we have on the schedule tomorrow? Regular show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then the Crucible Debate on Race with American Black at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye. Sleep well. Thank you.